Golf is on your mind and on the air. Right now, this is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the season, 9 to 11 a.m. By the way, a little programming note, at 10:30 today we will switch to the stream only, so you'll have to watch us on YouTube or Twitch. YouTube.com, you can find us ESPN Chicago, or Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago at 10:30, as Jeff Meller will take over on the radio airwaves and the app with White Sox Weekly. So all that switch coming up at 10:30 today. Let's get to what's taking place right now at the Byron Nelson. We've been talking a lot about golf trips and all that stuff today, as you and I are headed down to French Lick tomorrow. But Scottie Scheffler, Thursday 61 and Friday 63, and some people still trying to finish up some of their Friday rounds right now, as round three will be starting off at about noon local time today. So yeah, you'll be getting a delayed version of the Byron Nelson, as they've been dealing with a lot of rain down in Texas. But Scottie Scheffler, the rain is not holding him back one bit. He has put together an awesome start to the weekend and is six shots ahead of the rest of the pack right now at 18 under. Then right behind him, you've got Sam Stevens at 12 under, Ricky Castillo 11 under, Johnny Vegas and Kurt Kitayama each at 10 under. Kurt Kitayama still finishing up, by the way, his Friday round right now. So he's 5 under through 14, so he still has a few holes left to play there. But we have not seen a Scotty win this year after we saw a year that was nothing but Scotty wins, and he's looking for that first one. I would be thoroughly shocked if he blew a six-stroke lead.
Yeah, I mean, this is a statement, and I think Scotty's getting a little tired of hearing everything about Rory and, you know, JT. You know, it's almost like, don't forget about me. You know, I'm going to go home, sleep in my own bed, and get a little home cooking and watch what I can do down the street. And he is having one heck of an event. And it's got to be deflating. I mean, who was the gentleman? He shot 63 on...
Was it Johnny Vegas?
Yeah, on Thursday.
On Thursday, still, yeah.
So he shoots 63. You'd think, oh, I'm doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to trail by two. And then the next day, you're going to fall even further back, even though you shoot 69, because Scotty's going to shoot 63. The best score yesterday was a 65. And so he is just putting down a bully beatdown. It is a man among boys. And the thing that I noticed more than anything yesterday, watching him play the back nine because of the delay, they had lightning, they had rain. It did everything down in Texas. But the thing that I saw different about Scotty in this event than anything else, he looked like he wasn't walking the golf course. He was stalking the golf course. It looked like he was just carving up Thanksgiving dinner, the turkey, just using his irons like Ginsu knives and just throwing in lawn darts. Those greens were so susceptible because of all the rain that they had. Even on Wednesday, it was like a deluge. So Thursday was prime, and those greens were like Duncan Hines cakes. They were just nice and soft and just. So you give players of this caliber that kind of opportunity, they're going to take full advantage of it. And unfortunately for us, we only had the group of Scotty. We had Jordan and Siwoo Kim. That was like their big marquee event or marquee group. The rest of the players are, I mean, they're all great players, don't get me wrong, but they're not formidable, iconic players.
I mean, I read off the rest of the top five there, and people may know Johnny Vegas and Kurt Kitayama, but no one knows Sam Stevens or Ricky Castillo.
Nico Echevarria and Patton Kizzire. And I mean, it's So, yeah, we're getting ready, though, because we have a signature event next week already.
Which will not feature Scotty. So this is the last you're going to see of Scotty before the PGA Championship.
Which I find interesting. And maybe, you know, he's a method to his madness. Look, I've just tuned this thing up. Mm-hmm. We'll keep it sharp while everyone's away and then go in and do some major damage at Quail Hollow. But this is really setting up the PGA Championship to be, again, must-watch TV. Again, we'll have the live players in there, the Brysons, who's lighting it up after taking a terrible loss last weekend. So when you see Scotty, Rory, Bryson, and maybe the likes of John Rahm and a few others coming in and JT, you could have a heck of a PGA Championship. And I hope Jordan Spieth can get into the mix with these guys, and to have him in the mix trying to go for his Grand Slam and all these iconic players, the PGA of America would be thrilled for that kind of a weekend.
Yeah, the crazy thing to me with Scotty, thinking about like the signature event, he won 4 signature events last year, and he's just going to sit one out?
I know. Why would you? Well, I understand this one because it's in his backyard, but I guess, hey, when things are going well, you could just sort of pick and choose where you want to go and make money. But I just find that you're giving up an opportunity to really acquire a tremendous amount of points. Because for Scotty, the points now are more important than the dollars. I mean, dollars will go buy groceries. But Scotty's got enough money to feed the world, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's for him, it's really about where is he going to finish in terms of the FedEx Cup? And we still don't even know what the format's going to be and how important it is to finish up high in those FedEx Cup points, because maybe you get a bye, maybe you don't. I don't know what the formula or the format's going to be quite yet. So I think points are going to matter for these guys.
So the next week is the Truist, formerly the Wells Fargo. And the course has changed because they're playing the PGA at Quail Hollow. Do you think that has anything to do with him not participating, having to go up to
Aronimink? Is that where that is?
For the Truist?
Yeah.
No, they're actually in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Cricket Club.
Oh, Philadelphia Cricket Club. Yeah, Aronimink's in Philadelphia, but it's the cricket club they're playing. Yeah, I think it's partly Scotty's not familiar with the golf course, probably doesn't know it. And to be honest with you, probably doesn't want that to be a distraction in terms of what he knows he has to do at Quail Hollow. And my guess is the cricket club may not be anything like what he's going to see at Quail Hollow. So, you know, I think between the grasses, the agronomy side of this, and how he's...
Why throw your game off?
Yeah.
Right before
why,
the PGA?
Why go up there before you have to come back down and play what Quail Hollow is going to have? So, yeah, I think it's probably a strategic move. He knows his body better than anybody. And, you know, I think when you're playing this kind of good golf, you don't want to waste it, but on the other hand, you also don't want to not use it. So, but this guy's so good, and I think between the setback he had with the hand injury, I think he's basically letting everybody know, I think I'm ready now. You know, I got the rust out, at least the Scotty Scheffler type of rust. For us, his rust would be, we'll take that all day.
Well, yeah, his rust is, he's played in 8 events so far, and his worst finish is 25th. A tie for 25th. He's got, what is this, 5 top 10s, 3 top 5 finishes, including a runner-up at the Houston Open, too. So, like, he's having a hell of a year by any standards, but it's just when you're coming off of a historic year from a winning standpoint a year ago, like, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not surprised at all, 10 being very surprised. How shocked are you that he hasn't won anything in 8 events?
Well, given the injury, not quite as shocked. I guess I am more impressed with how well he is playing, even though he's not winning, given what happened. Because, God, that could have ended his career. I mean, you just never know.
Yeah.
But what I can't get over, though, is just how good he is and how good he stays. Like, golf is a game you never really own it. You sort of rent it. It kind of comes and goes. It's like, yeah, I'm playing really good. And then you talk to that same guy. Yeah, not anymore. It just left. Or, yeah, today I'm putting great, but I can't drive the ball. Or I'm driving it great. I can't get it into the hole. Scotty, it's unbelievable the consistency and that the level he can maintain this. I just wait for that, you know, to come back down to regular, you know, like just being a mere mortal like the rest of these tour players, and he's not doing it. And he's got a swing that just doesn't seem to be the same one every time. It looks like it's a little different each time, a little more of a sidestep, a little more of a shuffle. But I'll tell you, he gets that club face dead square every time. And he puts that, that is where his strength is, his ability to control where the ball is going on the green and putting it in places to make his putting easier. Because if he wasn't anywhere good, as good he is with these irons, he would be so further down the list because of his putting. It's his iron play that saves his putting, in my opinion.
You know, I'm just looking at his rounds too from this year, like it really has been the Saturday Sundays that have kind of hurt. Like, for context here, he finished in a tie for third at the Genesis this year with a 76 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, I mean, 70, 67, 66, but that 76 in there is the difference between him winning and not winning a golf tournament. And it feels like the Saturdays have kind of hurt him. He's already got four rounds in the 70s this year on Saturdays. He's got four rounds in the 70s on Sundays, too. Like, that, it feels like, is what's kind of holding them back right now. I would say I'm shocked he hasn't won one. Like, he plays an eight. He's had the finishes that he's had. It's not to say he hasn't had a great year. It's just, it's Scottie freaking Scheffler. You'd think he would end up just falling into one of these. And it looks like he's going to finally get his one this weekend. It would take a miracle for him not to. But again, who knows? What if Saturday strikes today and he's...
shoot 75.
Yeah. Or even like a 73 maybe opens this thing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the cut being four under, I mean, you can tell this golf course was vulnerable right from the start. But Scotty is just amazing. And I marvel at his ability to hold it together, to bring it each and every week in a way that is so stellar. But to your point, he has had hiccups over the weekend. And I just wonder sometimes, especially in this year, if it has anything to do with the fact that he took some time off because of the injury. And, you know, and it's like, when you shoot that really good score the first day, it's always hard to come back with an equally low round, although he just proved it. When you play a couple of good rounds like this, it's almost like eventually you almost feel like, I got to come back down to earth. Or, hey, I'm not keeping up with the same pace that I had yesterday. And now you start to worry. So is he getting kind of bored at times? Like, you know, he's... like, how does he keep his attention today and tomorrow when you're up six shots? I mean, does he go in there with a killer attitude? I want to be up by nine by the end of the day.
Yeah, so does he set a target score he wants to win by?
I think you have to, because you don't want to go into a prevent defense yet. You want to keep your foot down on the throttle, because if you are basically hitting it exactly where you want it, why would you deviate? And so there should be no reason that he shouldn't shoot anything higher than 66 today.
Yep. All right. When we come back, I want to get into some stuff with some majors that are coming up, including the PGA, and how LIV Golf was supposed to be a place for players to get ample amount of rest, and that may not be the case as they get ready for the PGA Championship, and then also what took place at Oakmont well over this past week. So all that and more. Of course, Oakmont, the site of the U.S. Open this year. So all that coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
All right, what is it you want to do when you grow up?
This segment brought to you by Republic Bank. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking all things golf with you. By the way, we will switch to stream only in just a little bit. So starting at 10:30, you will only be able to find us on YouTube and on Twitch. Let's start with what took place at Oakmont, because a huge storm came through and ripped up a lot of the fan structures at Oakmont. They've been setting this thing up, getting it ready for the U.S. Open in a little over a month from now. But boy, that was a heck of a storm that came through, and now it's kind of – you've directed tournaments before. Oh. This seems like worst nightmare kind of stuff.
It is worst nightmare kind of stuff. The only – well, I'll say the only, but two blessings in disguise here. Number one, nobody got hurt or killed. And I'm going to tell you, folks, these structures, while they look like they're light and they're tents, these are buildings. They are German, European designed, and these things are heavy, and they can kill you if they come down. And the Trophy Club, it was a 25,000 square foot facility, and it was up on scaffolding system, so the level was, you know, a nice floor, room with a view, so to speak. And it was, they just had a picture of it on, like it was like finished. Yeah. And then that storm came in and played with it like it wasn't even there. Ruined it, bent the structure. These are beams that the weather bent.
Yeah.
And so this was no little breeze coming through. So the other fortunate part for the USGA and for the Oakmont Club is the fact that they had just started. So this was the main structure and where they were starting their overall production schedule. So they still have plenty of days to get caught back up, but this is going to take 10 days to take all this down, get it out, and get new stuff in and get it all back up and putting the skins on and all the rest of it. So what they'll do to get back on track is once they get the equipment, they are going to fly in extra crews so that they can catch back up, because you gauge a couple of days of bad weather, but not many. Every day is a work day, including Sundays and Saturdays for these major championships, because quite frankly, the home or host club wants to maintain the integrity of their club as long as they can. And by that, it means, okay, well, if we're going to put stuff on the tennis courts, when can we have the tennis courts? Well, the tennis membership saying, well, wait. Well, then we're going to need that swimming pool area. So when can we take that? Well, in this case, they'll probably say take the pool first because we're not even going to open it up. It's too early. So we'll start over there, let the tennis play. So in other words, they pin us in corners, and you as a production crew have to run what I call a perfect game, because if you get behind, you cannot manufacture more time, and the only way you can is to start working at night. And we actually had to do that in 1999 at the Ryder Cup in Boston.
Yeah. I want to hear your story from that. We'll do that when we come back here, and then also we'll get into what's happening with LIV Golf and the PGA as they get ready for the PGA Championship. So all that and more coming up next. The segment has been brought to you by Republic Bank. Remember, we will be going to the stream only starting our next segment. So you can find us on YouTube and you can find us on Twitch. That's where we'll be for the rest of the show until 11 o'clock, as White Sox baseball is coming up next on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
To Believe, Legendary Golf by Pete Dye and Donald Ross. Our little corner of the world is like nowhere else. Your French Lick getaway starts now at FrenchLick.com.
Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Founded in 2001, Zero Friction established the number one performance tee on the PGA Tour with over 70 PGA Tour victories. In 2024, Zero Friction introduced their newest innovation, the Stride Electric Bag Trolley, voted Product of the Year at the PGA Show. To secure your personal caddy, go to ZeroFriction.com.
Play golf in Elgin. Check out the Golf Elgin app and book a tee time at the Highlands of Elgin or Bowes Creek Country Club. Enjoy exceptional playing conditions and afterward, perhaps a savory pork chop at the Grumpy Goat Tavern. A great place to continue your day of play. Check us out at highlandsofelgin.com or grumpygoattavern.net.
Village Links of Glen Ellen provides a country club experience at a public golf facility with a top-rated 27-hole complex that's proudly hosted 47 PGA Tour and USGA qualifying events. Village Links is considered one of the premier golf courses in the Chicago area. It's located near I-88 and 355. So get out and play at Village Links. After your round, dine on the spectacular patio at Reserve 22 Restaurant and Bar overlooking the pristine 18th green. Go to villagelinksgolf.com and get ready for a great round. See you at the links.
Want a competitive Chicagoland tour created especially for you? The AGS Tour allows you to play when and where you want. Enjoy friendly competition and elevate your game. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the AGS Tour provides unique, flexible event scheduling. To learn more, go to amateurgolfsociety.com.
Chicagoland's very own Tour Edge Golf is celebrating 20 years of exotics with their brand new Exotic 725 Series. The 10K MOIe 725 driver provides the ultimate in forgiveness and stability off the tee, while the rest of the 725 Series is packed with innovation specifically designed to cover every player type looking to level up their game. It's time to see for yourself why over 200 PGA Tour professionals have chosen to put exotics in their bags. For more on the new Tour Edge Exotic 725 Series, visit Tour Edge.com.
Experience the best golf on the North Shore. Head over to Glenview Park Golf Club. Book your tee time 24/7 at golfglenview.com or call 847-724-0250. Golfglenview.com or 847-724-0250. Experience the best.
Discover why Oswego Land Park District's Fox Bend Golf Course is considered the gem of the western suburbs. And it's just 45 minutes from downtown. Built in 1967, Fox Bend was voted a five-star course by Chicagoland Golf Magazine. A 6,900-yard par 72 layout that will appeal to all levels of play. With the most superb green complexes in the Chicagoland area, Fox Bend has hosted three Illinois Open Championships. And this year, Fox Bend is the proud host of the 2025 Chicago Adaptive Open, June 20th through the 22nd. To book a tee time, visit foxbendgolfcourse.com.
Experience the best golf on the North Shore. Head over to Glenview Park Golf Club. Book your tee time 24/7 at golfglenview.com or call 847-724-0250. Golfglenview.com or 847-724-0250.
Welcome into White Sox Weekly. We're on a winning streak. How about that? A couple in a row for the White Sox after what I believe was the team's best played game all season on Thursday afternoon to salvage a series against the Brewers. And then last night here at Raitt Field, another good win for the White Sox as they beat the Astros, who they welcomed to town for a three-game series this weekend. They took the opener of that series 7-3 last night. It has been the last couple nights, just remind you, if you're a baseball fan, why you can fall in love with your team, and the day in and day out of baseball is unmatched by any other sport, because you can just get yourself a two-game win streak and all of a sudden just upbeat. It's more fun to come to the ballpark, and today looks like a beautiful day to come to the ballpark. Hanging out here right now inside the broadcast booth looking over at Raitt Field, and it is sun splashed. It is beautiful. The grounds crew is working, getting the field ready for today's action, and it's not too hot. It's that crisp, you know, mid-50s, lower 60s day here today at Raitt Field. So if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon with a very good team in town with the Astros, come on by and see if the White Sox can extend it to 3 today here at Raitt Field. I am Jeff Meller, and if you're unfamiliar with White Sox Weekly, we're on every Saturday 2 hours prior to our pregame coverage, which will start at 12:30 today. And, of course, we'll have first pitch at 1:10 for game number 2 of the White Sox and Astros. On White Sox Weekly today, a quick rundown. We're going to give you a quick synopsis of what you may have missed the last couple days. Also expecting to hear from Jonathan Cannon, who was a really, really nice effort last night. He's now put together 2 really good ones in a row. Expecting to hear from him around 11:30. Also might touch base with James Fegan, who covers the White Sox for Sox Machine. Depending on the timing, we'll see if that works out. So, and also have plenty of pretty cool features. If you may have missed them during the week, John Garland hopped in the booth with Len Casper and Darren Jackson during a game earlier this week, and then also Aaron Rowan did so last night. So we're going to let you hear them in the booth with Len and DJ. So lots of good stuff. Oh, and the White Sox named their minor league hitter and pitchers of the month. We'll let you hear from them as well in our minor league report. So let's get after it. We're going to start with the last couple days. As I mentioned, it is warming up a bit, and normally when that happens, Luis Robert gets going, and that certainly has been the case. And in retrospect, Chris Getz met the media on Tuesday at the start of this homestand, and this soundbite could not have been more prescient when it comes to Luis Robert.
For us going into the season, it was really navigating April, keeping him on the field, knowing that as the weather warmed up, there was going to be more production in there, and I think it's safe to assume that that's likely to happen. You know, I know he gets frustrated at times, and we do as well, wanting him to come through in big moments, but he has come through plenty of moments this year for us. So we still have faith in Louis, and we know that Louis is doing everything he can to be more productive. But, you know, we feel like it's about to turn, and hopefully here it warms up, and we can continue to see more positives from Louis.
And sure enough, over the last week, as it has warmed up just a bit, Luis Robert, over the last 7 days, is 8-for-22. He's hit 3 home runs, driven in 8. He's got 5 walks over that period of time and 6 stolen bases with an on-base percentage of .481. And oh, by the way, that's just the bat. Let's start things out with the way things started out on Thursday afternoon with Sean Burke on the mound. Burke had loaded the bases via the walk, but with a couple of outs, Luis Robert saved the day.
Swinging a high fly ball, center field, it's deep. Robert's still back. He is at the fence, and he makes a catch. A leaping grab right at the wall. I don't know if it would have been a home run.
Oh, it would have been. He got that one and brought it back.
What a catch by Luis Robert Jr. Yep, you're right. He reached over that yellow line. That would have been a grand slam. As it is, they don't score. We head to the bottom of the first. Nothing, nothing.
That was huge. That really did set the tone for Thursday's game. Sean Burke, even after the game, tweeted, "Thank you, Panther." He said, "I owe him something. Not sure what it is because he makes a lot more money than me." But, of course, and Sean Burke settled down after that too, which was nice. But in the bottom half of the same inning, Luis Robert came through at the plate.
The pitch, swing, and a base hit on the ground through the drawn-in infield and into left. And it's 1-0.
Well, we noticed that he was doing a really good job keeping his hands in a good position to attack, and they tried to sneak the fastball on him. He was too quick. He got to the two-seamer and hard through the drawn-in infield.
So it's 1-0.
And after that, Luis Robert actually stole a base as well. He still leads the American League in stolen bases, but after a couple from O'Neill Cruz last night, O'Neill Cruz took over the major league lead with 14, but Luis Robert is in second with 13, and he does lead the American League. Sean Burke, as I mentioned, settled down after that huge rob of the grand slam by Robert, and this is what that sounded like.
2-2 from Burke. Foul tip, strike 3. There's his 1-2-3. Foul tip, strike 3. Third strikeout for Burke. The 3-2 home swung on and missed strike 3. Back-to-back K's for Burke. He has retired 7 straight. 3-2 pitch, swing and a missed strike 3. Sean Burke mowing him down.
So that was absolutely a huge, huge save by Robert, and that allowed Sean Burke to settle down and get back to pitching the way we know that he's capable of. We saw him dominate last September when he made his major league debut, and then on Thursday he goes 6 scoreless innings, strikes out 5, lowered his ERA to 4.91, and it's that performance, it's the performance he gave on opening day, and the what he was able to do at the end of September last season as to why I think a lot of folks around here are excited about what Sean Burke could be for this rotation in the future. Now, how about, it's not just Robert who's heating up as the weather warms up, but Miguel Vargas has made an adjustment with his hands, and it is certainly paying dividends as he extended his hitting streak to a career-high 8 games on Thursday afternoon.
1-2. Hit high in the air out into deep left. Way back there. It is gone. Vargas with a 3-run homer. It was on a changeup. And it's 4-0.
Well, it looked like he was committed. He did such a great job making sure to keep his nose down on that baseball and not pull off of it.
His second of the year.
Will Venable actually talked about Miguel Vargas' recent success in the pregame that day.
Miguel, you know, he's been consistent with his play discipline, and we know that that's been part of his skill set, you know, from the beginning, at least, you know, starting in spring training with me. But, yeah, he started to figure out how to make impact and move the ball forward. And, you know, now those good at-bats are ending in, you know, base hits and extra bases and some runs for us. So, yeah, this is just part of his development. And, you know, I think the good thing is that, you know, his skill set, you know, with the plate discipline, you know, feel confident that that's going to be there, you know. And so now that he's been able to put moves and balls forward, it's also exciting.
You love that. Now, Vargas' hit streak was snapped last night, but nevertheless, he certainly made the adjustment in season, which can be hard to do at times, and it is certainly paying dividends early on. One more highlight from Thursday. Luis Roberts came to the plate with the bases loaded, and he did not fail.
2-1 is lined out into deep right center, and it's over the head of Cheerio. Taylor scores. Meidroff right behind him. He will score. Benintendi is in. It is a bases clearing double for Robert. 8-0.
And that is exactly how the game ended. White Sox shut out the Brewers as they head out of town. And then, of course, yesterday evening, the White Sox built on that with their performance against the Astros. Edgar Caro started things off early in the bottom of the first inning for the Sox.
Not running, and the pitch is hammered on a line out in the deep left. And it's over Altuve's head. Meidroth will score. Robert around third, going to be a play at the plate. Relay throw by Pena is in time. Great tag by Diaz. Robert tried to get his hand in there. And no challenge coming. Yeah. So that'll go 7-6-2 to get Robert. It is 1-0.
The one thing I'll point out is you love the aggression there. The send by Justin Jersey. The Astros had to put together, you know, an absolutely perfect throw from Jose Altuve in left field, who, by the way, if you haven't been watching, even though he's made the transition to left field from second base, he certainly has not covered himself in glory at that position defensively. So, you know, testing him and then having, you know, Jeremy Pena have to make a perfect relay throw to the plate. It's a situation where you completely understand why Justin Jersey sent him in that moment. And each and every day with your best base runner rounding third, made all the sense in the world. Make the Astros be perfect on that play. They were. And actually, I think I said Pena. I think I believe it was Rogers, actually, in retrospect, who made the relay throw. But nevertheless, to, you know, force the Astros to be perfect early in the game. You know, you hate to make the out at home plate, but at the same time, completely understand and like the aggression on the base pass there. And it was also a great slide by Luis Robert. I mentioned you need Altuve to come up with a play in his new position. You need Rogers to make a nice throw. And then Yiner Diaz had to make a really good tag at home plate. So it was a perfect execution by the Astros that prevented Robert from scoring. So I am not critical at all of that send by Jersey and the aggression by the White Sox on the base paths. In fact, I'll actually applaud it. Meanwhile, Chase Meidroth also returned to the lineup this week. That's been a bright spot, and he continued that source of brightness yesterday.
Swinging a ground ball into left, a base hit. Dahlbeck rounding third. The throw by Altuve is going to be late. Chase Meidroth with an RBI hit. It's 2-0.
He's brought a really nice dynamic to the lineup. Of course, Meidroth's ability to get on base, I think, feel pretty comfortable saying, is unmatched up and down this White Sox lineup. Now, I should, before I get ahead of myself, it is, you know, still a small sample size for Chase Meidroth, so he does need to do it over the long haul. But It's exactly what he did in the minors, seeing a lot of pitches, drawing walks, and just being selective as a hitter. And you like to see that because that's something that the White Sox lineup at times has lacked. So Mydroth has brought that to the table. It's funny because Will Venable actually talked about Mydroth's approach in the pregame earlier this week.
Well, yeah, I was super excited about the 3-1 double there. You know, we were even joking beforehand, what are the chances that he swings at this ball? And then he smokes it in the gap. So I was super excited about that. That's what we expect of him. You know, he's going to learn how to make an impact in this league, at the plate. And, it's obviously, again, a guy with really good plate discipline, and he's going to start moving some balls forward with authority. It's going to be fun to watch.
And maybe just I should back up. That was Venable talking about Mydroth hitting a 3-1 double the other day against the Brewers, and how the question on the bench, they were joking around, hey, is he actually going to swing here, having the 3-1 count in his favor? And sure enough, he delivered a double, because that's something that the White Sox did challenge Mydroth on when they sent him down to AAA to begin the season, was, hey, we know you can draw a walk, we know you can see a lot of pitches, but you also need to do some damage when you're in a advantageous count. And seeing a little more of that come to fruition at the major league level is, I think, something that you can be very excited about if you're a Sox fan out there. Also, moving back to yesterday now, I mentioned Luis Robert had a fantastic game on Thursday, and that carried over last night.
There's a swing and a drive. Robert, deep right center. It's gone, and it's 3-1. That's his fifth of the year and his 500th major league hit.
I would say that's exactly how you would draw it up if you were Luis Robert for your 500th hit. You do it in style with a home run, and as I mentioned, he really does look like he's locked in at the plate. And not just locked in, but I'm very fascinated to see the development of Luis Robert, the more selective hitter, because the one thing, even though he was struggling throughout the month of April, and how much of that is related to the cold weather and how much of it is related to him just, getting his timing down as the season begins, I don't know, but he was drawing a lot of walks throughout April. And now to see the weather warm up and to see him still drawing walks, but now hopefully doing damage as well, if he adds that plate discipline, there's no doubt he's got the talent to be a top 10 player in this league. And if he's getting on base once the hits start coming around, all of a sudden, Luis Robert is somebody who he'll be one of the best players in baseball. He already has the talent to be that, but if you add that plate discipline, that really is the only thing missing from Luis Robert's game. So fun to watch that. One more highlight from last night. We started things off in yesterday's game with a Edgar Caro RBI. Let's close it out with an Edgar Caro RBI.
A swing and a ground ball towards center, base hit. Perfectly placed. Vargas will score. White Sox take advantage of the wild pitch. Caro with his second RBI of the night. And it's 4-1.
So it was a great way to wrap up the evening yesterday as the White Sox win their second in a row. Good times all around. It was a very, very fun evening, and hopefully the White Sox can continue to build on that winning streak, maybe make it 3 in a row. Although I will note they have their work cut out for them today because Hunter Brown is on the mound for the Astros, and last night in the pregame, I was calling Framber Valdez the Astros ace, and perhaps it's one of those things where every team has an ace, right? And Valdez had passed Justin Verlander in terms of like the ace-like status a couple years ago. So my mind had defaulted to, okay, coming into the season, Framber Valdez is the ace. However, Hunter Brown, who's on the mound for the Astros today, is, I think we can, if you go over just the last calendar year, he is undoubtedly the Astros ace. So the White Sox are going to be up against it today. Should be a really good game, though, for the 1:10 first pitch here at Raitt Field. Some good pitching if you want to come out and watch at the ballpark today. Hunter Brown up against Davis Martin for the White Sox. All right, just got confirmation. Jeff Blum, who's in the house, he is the TV analyst for the Houston Astros. And White Sox fans, of course, remember Jeff Blum from his fantastic 2005 World Series home run in the 14th inning of Game 3. What an epic classic game. Blummer is in the house. He's going to hop on with us at 11 o'clock. We'll reminisce about the 2005 World Series and pick his brain a little bit about the Houston Astros who are in town. So plenty to do right here on White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller. This is the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
At Wintrust, our approach is to let Southside fans show off their Southside pride anytime, anywhere. With the White Sox debit card from Wintrust Community Banks, you're not just swiping, you're making a statement.
It's like a megaphone for your wallet.
Broadcasting your Sox pride with every transaction. Open a White Sox checking account and receive a $300 bonus with qualifying activities. Visit Wintrust.com/Sox today. Wintrust. Different approach, better results. Only $100 required to open. No monthly minimum balance and no monthly maintenance fees. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Cap. Let me tell you about my guys at Atomatic Mechanical Services. Their motto is we make people comfortable, and comfort isn't just about heating and cooling. It's about the peace of mind knowing they'll always give you fair and honest upfront pricing and complete the project with the highest quality technicians and installers. For the past 80 years, Atomatic has handled Chicagoland's toughest commercial jobs while keeping everything in your home running right. Don't settle. Go with Atomatic, the team I trust. Visit atomatic.com.
With more than 200 flavor notes, Woodford Reserve wows your senses, delights your palate, surprises you with every new scent and sensation. It elevates an evening into an event, giving you a new experience with every sip. So yeah, Chicago, Woodford Reserve is more than a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Kentucky Straight Whiskey, 45.2% ABV, Woodford Reserve Distillery for Sales, Kentucky. Please drink responsibly. Woodford Reserve is a registered trademark, 2025 Brown-Forman Distillery Incorporated.
Hello, this is Jan at Toyota.
Hi, Jan. Is now a good time to get a new Toyota?
It is. We like to say your summer starts here at your Toyota dealer. Now through June 2nd, we have a great selection of Camrys, Corollas, Tundras, and more.
Right, your summer starts here.
I'm a pet sitter, and business is way up as people enjoy their new Toyotas.
Stop, Sebastian. Goldie is not dinner.
Right, your summer starts here.
Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hi, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I am Penn Holderness.
And we're here to remind you to get your cancer screenings.
Now, we don't have cancer, but we do want to keep it that way.
And while you don't have to race to the doctor.
Oh, but I like races, honey, especially when they're amazing races.
I see what you did there. But you do need to make time for routine screenings. I schedule my annual mammogram and gyno appointments every year around my birthday and then treat myself to lunch.
Well, that sounds like fun. Can I get in on that? I mean, I like lunch.
Well, you have a colon and you're over 45 and you have lungs.
Yeah.
And didn't you smoke in college?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so seriously, Penn, if there is something, early detection can make all the difference.
Okay, I'll get screened.
This C word can be scary, but routine screenings for breast, cervical, colorectal, lung, and prostate cancers can detect cancer early, even before symptoms appear.
Please visit PreventCancer.org to find out which cancer screenings you need.
Because early detection equals better outcomes.
Being a caregiver for a family member can be very rewarding. It can be very challenging, too. Besides taking a physical and emotional toll, it can also take a real financial toll, especially if you're paying for home safety upgrades, covering medical expenses, cutting back on hours at your job, or having to leave your job altogether. In some states and in certain situations, you may be eligible to get paid for the care you provide. But finding reliable information about caregiver compensation can be overwhelming and very time-consuming. The AARP Foundation Paid For Care Hub can help. It's a free online tool developed with support from UnitedHealthcare, where you can search compensation programs, explore your options, and get answers to frequently asked questions. Find out today if it's possible to be compensated for the time, effort, and care you're providing. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org to learn more.
Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly, and do I have a treat for you. All right, so Jeff Blum's going to hop on at 11 o'clock. 2005 World Series champion. And speaking of that, 2005 World Series champion John Garland joined Len Casper and Darren Jackson in the booth earlier this week.
John, welcome back, and you're all bundled up. You know the deal, man. Before May 1st, you never know.
It's going to be a little chilly. You never know. You're right. You got to stay warm.
So I know you and DJ had an event before the game tonight, and you reminisced a little bit. I'll ask you about something that maybe didn't come up, because I was on the other side of town at that time. You were the guy who got away. Now, if anyone out there doesn't know what I'm talking about, John certainly does. Whenever the Cubs and White Sox make a trade, it is analyzed for decades, and I would say the White Sox got the better of that deal. How did you feel when you got traded? Because you had just, I mean, you had been in the Cubs system, what, like not even a year?
Not even a year. Just barely a year, exactly. It was a shock to the system because I was so young. It showed me the business side of it at a young age. So any time I got traded after that, it wasn't such a shock to the system. And I just kept moving on. You know what I mean? I wanted to play baseball. It didn't matter who. I wanted to go out. I wanted to be on the field and try and prove myself. And it worked out.
Sure did. How many big league games have you attended since you retired?
A handful.
Okay.
I still go to games in L.A. I'm there in Southern California, so I still go to Dodger games when I can.
How do you watch games as a former pitcher?
I just answered this the other day. I get caught up watching hitters and trying to figure out what I would do.
Love it.
Where if there's a hole, and a lot of times I'm talking through an at-bat and someone sitting next to me is like, what are you doing right now? Like, I apologize. This is kind of the only way I can watch it.
Well, DJ does that as a hitter. I mean, he's already done it a couple times tonight.
Yeah, I'll sit up here and I'll go through sequences as if, you know, this is the way the hitter should be thinking, because you can see. And then you and I were talking about this earlier. There's a tell. The batter was telling the pitcher and catcher what he was trying to do. And then they try to counteract that and go the opposite direction.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're trying to do. You know what the hitter's trying to do. Let's see if we can combat that.
You threw out a ceremonial first pitch tonight. And
we'll loosely say I threw out a
first pitch. Yeah, you lobbed it. Yeah, slider is outside. But what was really cool is instead of wearing your jersey, you wore number 22 with Farmer on the back. And what a nice gesture. Not a day goes by in this booth and Farmio's name doesn't come up. I mean, I keep prodding DJ to write the book. He hasn't written it yet, but he's got enough stories to fill up a book.
I would love to be a part of that book, and I'd love to read that book.
Well, John had a special relationship with Ed as well. I mean, more special than most players.
As we chat with John Garland, DJ, I'm going to let you have Adam here, but I have one last big picture question about 05. I asked Alan Trammell about the 84 Tigers. They started the year 35-5. I said, you got swept in Seattle. You were 35-8. Was there ever any doubt, like, oh, maybe we're not as good as we thought? And he smiled. He said, no, I knew we were better than everybody. Did you have that vibe in 05? Was there ever for you any real doubt? Obviously, the postseason, you steamrolled everybody, but was there a feeling inside that it was your year all year or not?
You could definitely feel there was something. You could definitely feel there was something. I never looked at it like, oh, we're better than everybody else, or you start doing that, you're going to get caught pretty quick. But there was never a time I was ever worried. Like in baseball, you know you're going to go through some winning streaks, you're going to go through some losing streaks. It's too long of a season not to, and you know those are going to come. But it never really was a thought like, oh, we're in trouble, or we had such a good group of guys, and the biggest thing is we stayed healthy. And when you stay healthy, that's half the battle.
You're in town for this 2005 celebration, and you're coming back for the big weekend right before the All-Star break. How many visits are you going to make this year so the fans can be aware?
There's probably going to be another three.
Okay.
I would assume. I'll be back in June a couple times. We'll see if we can't get to the stadium, do some things.
Well, all right, so we'll resume this conversation.
We don't like the 1-2-3s.
Not when we're
especially,
up.
Especially on our end.
Well, I called a lot of your games, and they were always sellouts either here or at the other place, and you were really a pleasure to watch. And I know how DJ and certainly Farmio felt about you, but great to have you back here.
I greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Always fun to hear from John Garland, the 2005 World Series champ. Speaking of World Series champs, on the 20th anniversary season, Jeff Blum in the house, the TV analyst for the Houston Astros. And to White Sox fans, more importantly, the man who hit the home run in Game 3 in extra innings. He'll join us next right here on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
For over 45 years, Food and Paper Supply Company has been the local leader in food service distribution. We're proud to partner with and service the Chicago White Sox and restaurants throughout Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. At Food and Paper Supply, we're committed to getting you the products you want, including fresh poultry, beef, pork, shrimp, and produce, plus frozen fries, appetizers, dairy products, oils, and a full line of carry-out packaging. Our cash and carry retail store is open to the public with wholesale pricing. Go to foodandpaper.com. That's foodandpaper.com for service and products beyond compare.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
If your hair could talk, it would probably say, "Thanks for going to Great Clips for a haircut." The skilled stylists at Great Clips Salons do millions of haircuts a year. But with Clip Notes, they save every detail of your hair, including the secret to taming that cowlick. Oh, and if your wallet could talk, it'd say the price looks pretty great too. Isn't it nice when everyone's happy? For the haircut you love for less, take it from your hair. Take yourself to Great Clips. Download the app today.
Hey friends, I'm Tom Waddle and I drive a Hawk. Hey car shoppers, forget tariffs. At HawkAuto.com, their prices have remained the same. Shop thousands of vehicles from 13 big brands. Get pre-tariff pricing plus 0% financing or no payments for 90 days. Choose from 9 Hawk Auto locations in Forest Park, St. Charles, Plainfield, Joliet, and Carroll Stream. Right now is the best time to buy at HawkAuto.com. HawkAuto.com! Financing on approved credit.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do